Okay, we're back in our series. We're still in our series on Continue On. We're going to get to chapter number 4. I do want to point out in the bulletin, I believe we have the little handout here on my giving potential. When it comes to the offering Sunday on June 5th, there's two aspects of it. Of course, the cash offering on June 5th, and then the opportunity we have through our commitments, either weekly or monthly, whatever works for you, depending on how you get paid, to make some type of pledge and follow through for the year. And so we just have a little giving potential you can look at. It just helps us to see, by committing a little, either on a weekly or a monthly basis, how much more we can give. And so really getting excited. We're a little over 2 weeks away from the offering. Thank you. I'm hearing a lot of good testimonies and stories of folks that are willing to get involved. And our goal really, if I had my way, we would have been in the building 6 months ago. But you know how that is. Our goal really is end of the year. And I hate to throw goals out because you've been down the road already. But it's going to be soon. And so help us to get to the finish line. And thank you for that. I appreciate the testimonies. I appreciate our teenagers. Over the last 7 or 8 weeks, I don't know where Daniel is, or maybe even longer, our teenagers regularly have visitors in church, and a lot of them adults, and so they're out working on the bus routes. We have good kids. We have good teenagers, and that's why they want to get involved with the building, and I appreciate that there. We're starting a new chapter in our little secondary discipleship book, Danger Ahead. You know, in war, as troops are trying to make advancement, they're trying to get into new territory, one of the things that an enemy will do to thwart their progress is they lay landmines out there. And they hide them, and they don't notice them, and you have to be very careful. You have to go slow, and if you step on it, you're completely done. Now, I hope that you are figuring out that the goal for the Christian is advancement. It's spiritual growth. It's going forward. It's not being content with where you're at right now. By the way, a Christian that gets content with where they're at is not going to progress. They're going to go backwards. And we have to be committed to going forward. But we do have enemies. We are in a spiritual war. This isn't some, I was going to say, easy thing. It is easy if you follow the Lord. But you have to be vigilant. You have to be ready to make sure that your eyes are wide open and that you don't get taken out by a spiritual landmine. The moment you receive Christ, you receive salvation, but you also received an enemy. And Satan's not a guy in a red suit with a pitchfork and a thing at the end of his tail. He's a real spiritual enemy. His first goal for all individuals is to keep them from receiving Christ as their Savior. But once you get saved, he doesn't give up. He doesn't want you to be an effective Christian, an effective soldier in the spiritual battle. That is his plan B. He wants to keep us from living the Christian life. And so he will put landmines in our path, spiritual landmines, to keep us from going forward. And really, the best case scenario for him is to mess us up so we quit serving the Lord completely. This lesson, we're going to look at really one of the bigger spiritual landmines he uses, temptation. Temptation. We joke about temptation, right? The bumper sticker, "Lead me not into temptation, I can find it myself." Or you guys, this is for you, Jerry. Flip Wilson, right? You probably went to school with him. back in the 60s. You know, "The devil made me do it." If that's true, it's because you probably made it a lot easier for him than you should have. We have everything we need to go forward as a Christian. We have everything we need to make it. But we have to be vigilant. These verses aren't in your book, but 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And by the way, you don't have to sit back in fear thinking, "Well, Satan's going to come after me. He's too powerful for me." No, if you're walking with God, you're doing the things you're supposed to be doing, and doing some of the things we'll mention over the next couple weeks, you'll be just fine. Yep. He's looking for whom he may devour. Think of it as a lion going after a herd. You know, they're going after a herd of wildebeest or whatever it is. They don't just run in the middle hoping, well, if I run into a middle of a herd, I'm bound to get one. They're looking for the one who has become weak. They're looking for the one that has separated from the rest of the herd, and that's the one that they target, and that's the one that they pick off. And so Satan's goal is the same. He's looking for us, and we're going to find out his strategy here, and he's looking for the one that he can go after. The problem is most Christians live a sloppy Christian life, and by doing so, they are placing themselves right directly in the path of Satan, right directly in the path of temptation. Now, what's the best way to avoid spiritual landmines? Know where they're located. Know where they're at. Know what he's trying to accomplish. How can we do that? 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. By the way, look, if the more you know of the word of God, the more you know what Satan's going to try to do. The less effective his attacks will be. Because as things come our way, we'll know the scripture and we'll understand the truths of scripture and we'll understand what we need to do to be safe. But most Christians are not spiritual enough. Fact of the matter, we're very ignorant. Temptation. We can know where it is. God has laid it out for us if we will just follow it. We will be very prepared to avoid its snare. Now, my car has a GPS on it, but when we're on vacation driving, I like to use Waze. How many know what Waze is? Waze, the thing I like about Waze is it tell you, not that I would ever speed, okay, because I do not speed. Now, sometimes the car goes faster than I want it to, but I don't speed. And you're driving, and when you're driving a long distance, it's real easy to look down and say, whoa, I didn't know I was going 130, you know, it's that type of thing. But it shows you what's up ahead. You know, it'll say there's a car in the lane on your right. How many know what I'm talking about? But my favorite feature is there was a police car spotted up ahead. Now, what do I do when I see that one? Slow down. Why? I don't need a ticket. You know, I think the last one in our family to get a ticket when we all were on vacation together was, I think it was Ryan. We pulled over and waited for him, though. But I want to know. I want to know where the speed trap is. When we get into the Bible and we start to understand the truths of spirituality, we're going to know where the landmines are. And we can be ready for them. So here we go. First thing I want us to understand this as we go forward. What is the difference between trials and temptations? The book of James in chapter 1 talks about both. The first part of the chapter, once you get past the introduction, it talks about trials in our life. And then it talks about temptations. Those are two completely different things. Sometimes I've heard people use it, and I know I get what they're saying, but they misuse a word. They'll say, you know, I'm just really being tempted right now because I'm going through a trial. They're two completely different things. Trials can lead us to become discouraged or disconnected if we're not careful, but temptation is trying to lead us directly to sin. Yeah. It's trying to lead us directly to something that would hurt us. So what are the differences? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that trials originate from God. That's where they come from. And I'll explain that. Everything that comes into our life either is directly placed there by God or God in his sovereignty allows it. And so if there's a trial in our life, God is allowing that in our life. And if we let him, he can use it. They can be unpleasant, and for sure they are. It can be a storm, a circumstance, something we're going through we just don't want to deal with, but we have to. And by the way, each of us will go through those at some time in our life. Here's the thing that's kind of so, you know, whether you're living for God or not, you're going to go through unpleasantness in life. But you have a better chance of coming out on the other end a better person, or in this case, a better Christian, if you go through those things with God. And so God allows them for a reason. He has a purpose. James chapter 1, verse 2 says this, and this is hard for us to understand. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. James is saying here, when that temptation is the word trial. It's different than the other temptation we're going to talk about in a minute. He says, count it all joy. In other words, it's like a mathematical equation. If you put 2 and 2, it's always going to equal 4. It's going to add up to something. And he says, what we need to do ahead of time is let it add up in our minds that trials, the things that fall into our life, it can end up to our joy. Not because it's joyful in the present, but because of what it can produce in our life going forward. So temptation is trials are something that originate from God or that God allows. But temptation originates from Satan. You know, I've heard people even say this phrase, right? God's really tempting me right now. God doesn't tempt anybody. It's not God's goal for you to do something sinful. It's not God's goal for you to do something wrong. So why would God place temptation in front of you? He doesn't. It comes from Satan. Look at James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So if it's not coming from God, who's it coming from? Satan. Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus was tempted, who did it come from? It came from Satan. And so temptation originates from Satan. He has a motive. He has a purpose for that. Look at the next thing. Trials' desired outcome is maturity. And so trials and temptations are different in where they originate from, but they're also different in their desired outcomes. What they want to happen because of this. Because trials come from God, they have a different purpose. The goal of the Christian life can be achieved in many different ways. And one of the ways we grow as a Christian, and one of the ways we become better as a Christian, is when we go through trials that God has allowed in our life. Do you know there are many things in our life that we can only learn by going through trials? Now, going through trials, and God tells us in James here that he wants it to produce patience and maturity in the Christian life. By the way, our theme for the year, we're kind of off of it right now, it's desiring growth. So the goal of the Christian life is one of the things to get us to God's goal is to keep growing. But what happens when you grow? You become more mature, like a newborn. When a newborn or a child, if they can get a hold of some, if they are able to get a hold of formula now, but their goal is for them to grow and to be healthy. And the natural outgrowth of that is they mature, they get older, they become more. And here's a key thought of a key product of maturity is patience. By the way, babies are not very patient. If they want something, they'll let you know. They don't have to talk. By the way, a lot of us, we're not patient. I mean, if it takes 2 minutes to go through a drive-through fast food place, we're irritated, okay? I remember a lot of the places back in the day used to have a little stop clock. Remember the stop clock? You know, if you don't get your food within 90 seconds, it's free. There's a reason they took the stop clock out. They got sick of giving away free food, okay? But we have to, everything's on a timer, man. I got this and this and this. We need to be patient. We need to learn patience. That is an earmark of a Christian who is mature. And it's especially important that we learn it in times of trials. You see, when you go through something that you don't like going through, when you go through something that is unpleasant, when you go through something that's painful, you want it over as soon as possible. And sometimes God will allow it to linger so that we're learning to run to him. You realize we always, pray for wisdom. The Bible says you ought to pray for wisdom. Well, what is the context of that in James chapter 1? It's written within the context of going through trials. That's when it's mentioned. Because we typically won't run to God to ask for those things we need unless we need them like right now. Now, it is best to run to God and get it before those things come. But sometimes God allows these things so that we can learn some things that we would only learn. It helps us to have a faith that is not lacking in any essential ingredient. Some of us, we have gaps in our faith. There's areas of our life, there's areas of our life where we're weak, or areas of our spirituality that need shored up. And sometimes the only way we're going to get through it, sometimes the only way we're going to really catch it is by going through things that are very, very difficult. You realize it's easy to go to live for God when everything's running smooth, right? What did Jesus rebuke his disciples several times when they would go through something and they didn't do it, to the way he should? He'd say, "Oh, ye of little faith." That was his way of saying, you didn't get it. This was here to teach you something and you totally blew it. Often we only learn the lessons that God wants for us as we go through testings and trials. Look at James chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We already mentioned that. Verse 4. So when we get the patience, what are we supposed to do? Let patience have her perfect work. Let it work in us. Let God take all the time he needs in any situation to get us to learn the things we need to learn, because that's the goal. Look at the next words. That you may be perfect. Perfect means mature. And entire. Entire means complete. Wanting nothing, lacking nothing. What God is saying is, if we allow trials to work in our life and we learn patience, it'll make us mature. It'll make us complete. It'll make us that we have everything we need to be able to live for God successfully and righteously in this world. And part of the thing he uses to get that in our life, he uses trials. But what's the desired outcome of temptation? Destruction. Look, Satan doesn't have anything good planned for us. Once we got saved, his goal was, don't you ever grow as a Christian. Once we start growing as a Christian, his goal is to cut it off or limit it. And then once we attain a level of faithfulness and maturity, his goal is to knock that out. You're never gonna get to a place where you're not. Look, if you're getting to a place where Satan is no longer after you, you're in a really bad place. Okay? He doesn't have to come after you because you ain't doing anything. It's those that are seeking to do something for God and live for God that he'll come after. And so he's trying to destroy us. Look at verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. This is in the context. We'll look at all the verses in a minute. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We are to receive what God is teaching us during a trial. And we are to reject what Satan is offering us in temptation. To be honest with you, to put it in an easier thought, we should receive trials when they come. But we ought to reject temptation when it rears its head. I just want to be strong enough and fight against it. We're going to see in a minute, you're not. You're not. So if that's the difference, then what we need to understand is what's involved in temptation. If it is true, the Bible tells us we are not ignorant of his devices. We know what he's going to do. Then what is it? What is he going to use? Well, the Bible lays it out. If you are sports teams, they will try to, before they play each other, they'll try to understand the strategy of the other team. Why? So you know what's coming. I remember years ago, I was coaching our football team. And I thought we had a good team. They were only limited by one thing. I had no clue what I was doing. So we played some of the other teams and we rolled them. And I'm like, this is great. And Lancaster, the big school Lancaster, you know, they were beaten. We just got in the league. We heard that they had dominated for years. And I'm like, it's different this year, Cowboy. You are not running roughshod. So I got our guys together. We were fired up, and we went up there on a cold night to play Lancaster. And I'm like, there's a new sheriff in town. Here we go. And I mean, at halftime, we were killing them. They're like a 20-point lead. And I'm like, this is easier than I thought. But then the second half started. They figured us out. And all I remember is it was cold. And it was discouraging. They scored like 40 points on us that half. And I went back and I'm like, that was on me. And I'm like, that's not going to happen again. So I remember the next year, I'm like, I know we're better than them. I know it. And so they were playing. I think Gethsemane had a team at the time. They were playing Gethsemane like, I'm going to go watch. And I saw their plan. They had this kid. One of their things, they had this kid, and he was lightning fast, a little Filipino kid. And they would either hand it off to him, and he would torch through the line, outrun everybody, or they would fake it to him, and everybody would run, and he would go. That was a lot of things I learned. I'm like, okay. So I went to our linebacker, Hong. I said, every time that kid gets the ball, and he's not running it, I want you to run as hard as you can to the line at scrimmage and just clock him legally. That kid came through the line of scrimmage. He was a decoy. Our guy hit him. Bam! After two times, he felt led not to run very fast. That messed up their whole plan. Their coach actually got on me afterward. What are you hitting the guy? He's a blocker. That's legal. If he doesn't like it, quit running. But we were prepared, and we smoked him. Because I figured it out. I went, what are you guys doing? You know, we are so haphazard in our Christianity. We have no clue what's going on. We stick our heads in the sand. And we willingly place ourselves inside a temptation, and we have no game plan to get through it. And the sadder thing is this, we put our kids in front of that too. We better know what's going on. We can't just stick our heads in the sand. Satan has a very clear and defined strategy. When it comes to temptation, listen, he has thousands of years of doing this on us. That's why it's good we have the scripture. We're not ignorant of his devices. We can know what's going on. Okay? It started back in the Garden of Eden. What is Satan trying? What is Satan's main doctrine? His main doctrine is you do what you want. We see that in the Garden of Eden. Hey, Eve, what's going on? Blah, 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 back and forth. Like, look. God knows if you eat the fruit of the tree, you'll be your own God, and you'll decide what's right and wrong. By the way, that is their strategy. Years ago, Oscar, Brother Torres and I, we were soul winning, and we knocked on the door, and opened up the door, and the guy said, I don't know if he said witch or warlock. He goes, I'm a witch. I'm like, well, usually that's the wife, you know, but. Okay, if you want to do that, it's up to you. He goes, I go to a Wiccan church. I was kidding. Snap out of it. He goes, I go to a Wiccan church. And I looked in the back, and he had on his wall, he had a one-way sign pointing down. And it said, which way? W-I-T-C-H. And it's like, Oscar was the one supposed to talk, and I'm like, I got this one. I want to take this one. So I'm like, what do you guys believe? I started talking to him, and basically, their belief is exactly what Satan said. He goes, we just believe that you should do whatever you feel is right. You should believe whatever you think is right. You should follow your own path that's right. I'm like, yeah, that started in Genesis. It's nothing new. We know it. The Bible has blown the cover on Satan. It reveals his plan to us. So here's the point. whether or not we're successful in overcoming his attacks, whether or not we're successful in avoiding temptation, is how much do we know of what he's trying to do? How much of the scripture do we know? He's not stronger than us because we have the Lord on our side. And we have his playbook. You say, so what is he trying to do? Here it is. You have to come back next week. Sorry, we're going to stop right there. Okay. The point is, temptation. He's trying to destroy us, but we can overcome it. And just walk on eggshells until we get to next week, and then we'll figure this thing out together, okay? Let's stand together for a minute. Thank you for being here. Looking forward to Sunday, and I hope that you are too. Let's pray together this evening. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word. We're thankful for the strength and the encouragement it gives us. And Lord, we're very grateful for the direction it gives us. That it helps us to avoid that which would destroy our lives. And Lord, it directs us and helps us to get through that which would strengthen us in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be committed to you. Committed to living righteously. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.